Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. It's time for you, the listener, and me, the host, to learn more about a new musical. So let's learn more about Two Elizabeths America and welcome Leslie Sharp to the show. Hello, Leslie.
Hello, Mr. Yovanoff.
Wonderful. Thanks for coming on. We're going to talk about your show. But before we do that, we always want to get to know you first, the person behind the music and the words and the book. So I always ask for a 30-second bio. So my question is, who is Leslie in 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds? Well, let's see. I've been in music my entire life. I started piano at age 3 and official lessons at age 5. And that was back on the East Coast. I came out here with my family. My father used the first model VW van and the first model movie camera and filmed the whole thing as we drove out here, 5 children, us really little. With my mother, of course, and we drove all the way out to California. And he entitled that, they said it couldn't be done. And somehow we wound up here in California, where we discovered to our shock and dismay that the ocean water was cold. It was so cold. And came out here, and I continued my music education. I had planned on, of course, going to a university, but I didn't get to do that till much later. I got sick. A lot of things happened. But I'm also a writer, so putting I've been getting, feedback on my writing, like brilliant, since the 3rd grade, actually. And I do different styles of writing. My main thing is poetry and fiction stories. But for this musical, just a bunch of stuff poured out. A lot of it rhymes. But I don't, thank God, I don't have just a rhyming musical where everything rhymes. No, but the very beginning of it, there is a lot of rhyme. Somehow it came out that way. And I said, it is good. I like that for the opening. So let's see what else. I have 4 siblings. Both of my parents have passed. I live in Southern California, LA. Not LA, downtown LA, but yeah. LA. And I have a daughter and a son, all grown up, and 2 granddaughters, almost all grown up, and 4 cats when I only planned on 1.
That's normal, yep.
Her first baby, which we had to keep. And then much later, she had another litter, and I all this time I had but found homes for all of her kittens, but 2 of that last, the litter before the last one, I know everyone's saying, how come that cat's not fixed? That's another discussion. We'll talk about that another time. But the 2 more cats came because I got tired and sick before I found homes for them. So they became part of the family. So now I have 4 cats, and that is all it's ever going to be. It will not be more. What else about me? I don't know. That's more than 30 seconds. So
Well, I'm always curious. Were you always into musical theater when you were growing up, or was that something you discovered later?
Oh, no. It was part of our growing up, my mother bought all the recordings, and I thought they were so much fun. I also love the real serious stuff, Stravinsky, Schoenberg, Beethoven, Bach, all of that. And I played all of that at the piano. But I, when I heard musical theater, oh my gosh, I just would, if we saw, we didn't see very many live shows, and they weren't that great here in California. They were great in New York, but somehow they're down by the time they get here. And, but when, but we'd go to see the movies, and I was like, I just was amazed. How did they do that? How did they do that? And I think the first one I got so excited about was The Music Man. One of my sisters won a prize for some kind of music contest. She played the accordion, and she won a prize. And that prize was the whole family gets to go see the new movie, Music Man. I'm aging myself, I'm sure. I just sang 76 trombones every day, and at night before I'd go to bed, it was like, yeah, I loved it. I loved musical theater. And then I forgot about it for a long time, so I didn't, I never really thought of writing one. That part came later. This idea came to me, and of course, like most creative people, I did nothing with it.
Yep. I hear
And
you.
COVID hit, and I thought, I really want to do this musical. And it just came. And I mean, everything came rather quickly. The melody, the chords, the feel of it, all of that stuff, and the lyrics. I did. Sometimes it was the music first and then the lyrics. Most of the time it was the lyrics and then the music. And then then comes the hard part where you have to enter it into. The part I dragged my feet on was entering it into the software on computer. But the fun part about that is then you have a whole orchestra at your fingertips. Oh, what do I want here? Do I want strings? Do I want percussion? Blah, blah, blah. So that was a whole nother level that was pretty exciting. And then of course the next you drag your feet because you have to finish it.
Yeah, it's easy to start something. It's when you get near the end, right? It's just, yeah, I understand. Been there, done that. So.
Yeah, it's hard to finish. So I think I managed to finish it, even making the script, which came easily, but I did it out of format, I just said who says what. Then I had to get it into the right format so it's, it looks sort of professional. Anyway, I did that too.
Well, tell us a little bit about the plot of the show, and what was the impetus for writing it in the first place?
I had something frustrating happen about I don't know, 8 years ago or so, and I went to the library just to relax, and they had a brand new book, and it was around it was called 80 Days, I think, 80 Days or something like that. And I read about the it's kind of a famous race between a race around the world between Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bisland. And the story broke it all, or not the story, but the book broke it all down. It was, a true nonfiction book. And I just thought that has to be a musical. It just screamed at me, I need to write a musical. And somewhere in that book was my birthday. I think it was checked out on, I don't know, but something said, okay, there's a sign. I have to do this. And and it was kind of a counter to this frustrating thing that happened. And so it stuck with me. I have to, I have to, I have to, even though it was maybe six years later that I actually did something with it. And So it's derived from this famous race between Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bisland, and they both were the rare example of women in writing. Like Elizabeth Bisland was a well-respected literary writer, and Nellie Bly was a well-respected undercover journalist. So Nellie Bly, whose real name was Elizabeth Cochran, thereby the two Elizabeths. she was the first female undercover reporter. So act one, there's act one, act two, act three. Act one is about her focusing on her from the time she's going, I have her going to interviews really quickly, you know, and the ma'am, you're just a woman, please. Now step aside, we'll show you. So she goes to these interviews and she finally gets the job. She's hired by Cockrell, what's John Cockrell, editor-in-chief for Joseph Pulitzer. And she gets the job, even though he says, well, you are a woman and women are a bother, but nevertheless, okay. So he had a job for her, which was to undercover infiltrate the brand new Blackwell Island insane asylum. So she happened to write a book, Nellie Bly did, called 10 Days in a Madhouse. So mine starts with her, you know, getting this interview, and she's so excited and she's so triumphant and she prepares how to be crazy. The whole first act is about crazy. So she prepares to be crazy and she prepares where she has to be crazy in order to wind up at this asylum. So the whole first act is about that, plus what happens in the asylum, and it's all a bit on the comical side, though it's also quite dramatic because it's weighty, you know. I mean, she goes through a lot, and then at the end of Act One, which is the longest act, she gets rescued. He was supposed to rescue her in 4 days, but it was 10 days, so she wondered if she was ever even going to get out of this place. So at the end, I get to it's just my license, you know, artistic license. I got to write a love ballad that I imagined that even though it took him 10 days instead of four, and she could have been really pissed off, I figured this was so grueling what she went through that she just fell in love for a minute when he finally rescued her. And so I wrote a torch song, and that's kind of ends Act One. And then Act Two is Elizabeth Bisland, who's a totally different character. She was born on a plantation. She was a, you know, part of the family, the white family on the plantation. However, by the time she was, I think, three, they freed the slaves. So the family had to run the plantation. As you can imagine, a family of four. And she just decided at a very, very early age that this was not what she was going to do for the rest of her life. Her father had a very extensive library, so she educated herself. She had to sneak into the library because women aren't allowed to educate themselves, but she did it anyway. And decided that she was going to be an artist of some sort and probably a writer. And she did become a well-respected literary writer, poems, stories, essays, that kind of thing, and became a pretty prestigious editor as well. I only go as far as her excitement of what she's going to be and what she has to deal with her mother. Her mother was not supportive. She was a born again type, and And then she found out that her daughter had to lie, but pretend like she was a man when she submitted writing to edit. What, you don't want to be a woman? You don't want to be a girl? But mama. Anyway, she sort of won her mom over. So that's act two. And then act three has to do with the race. And then I bring in some fiction. A fictional, not fictional characters, but they're real characters that didn't have anything to do with this. But I bring in the railroad moguls, and I have her talking to the railroad moguls because she's all about free, fair work, fair labor, and stuff. And so she has a bit of a con. Anyway, they're very stodgy, and I, when they go into the corner, the speaks. The song, which is really speaking, rhythmic speech. It's all of, I can't really describe that. Well, you just have to hear that one. But I also bring in an what's her name? A black character, very famous. She was the wealthiest woman, one of the wealthiest women in the world, who was born a slave, and she made money with hair products. And I don't know why her name slips me. Anyway, she's in part of it. So she was famous for her parties. So she throws a party, and the railroad moguls come, and Nellie Bly comes, aka Elizabeth Bislin, Nellie Bly. They come, and there's this big party, and so you have a lot of song and all kinds of styles, including boogie woogie, and including like a popular song of the day, what that sounds like. And that's a very, very long production piece. And then there's the race, and we all know who won. Well, we don't know. You probably don't know. Your
I
listeners don't know.
don't know.
Bly wins. Some say that Elizabeth Cochran, I'm sorry, Elizabeth Bislin could have won, but she never took it serious. She didn't want to do it. She was forced to do it. Nellie Bly was like, "Yeah, man, this was my idea in the first place," but Elizabeth said, "I'm not doing that." And she never wanted to be a well-known celebrity. She liked her private life with her close literary friends. So she did it, dragging. She just didn't want to do it, but she went as far as she felt she had to go. And she just went home. She just hopped on the boat to take her home. So Elizabeth Cochran, aka Nellie Bly, she won the race.
So what's been happening with the musical? Where have you taken? Has there been any readings, any productions, or anything like that? What's the production history of it?
There's no production history yet. I'm not at that point, but I am now, as of a couple months ago. I'm contacting people. I'm contacting schools. I've been asked to put on a concert doing some of the songs with a real vocalist, which is not me. I'm a fantastic coach, but I'm not a real vocalist. So she's working on the vocalist. She's very, very talented. Her name is Kayla Stevenson, and she's working on the songs. The songs are very demanding, and she's learning them at a breakneck pace. And she's learning them really, really fast. So in a few days, I should have an MP3 of the first one that she has learned, and
Nice.
you might be able to put that in your rotation. But these are very demanding songs, so I'm really impressed with Kayla.
Well, this being your first show that you've written, what did you find was nice and easy? What just came naturally in for you in writing it? And what process of it did you find just daunting?
Okay, so repetitive is daunting for me. Like I get the idea down and I'm like, okay, that's done, but it's not really done. So like the book, the what they call the book, I think that's a little pretentious. I hate to say I wrote a book when it's really a script for a musical is a little different, but of course it's very important. That came very easy. I just sat down, da 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 da. I saw the whole thing and it came really easy. Many of the lyrics came easy. Hard part was now I have to polish it, you know, and I'm not wanting to do that. You know, you're glad when you do these things because once you step into that arena, again, it gets very a lot easier. So that came hard. I think Act Three came very hard because I thought, okay, so there was this race. How am I going to turn that into Act Three? And when I thought of the railroad moguls, who it's a little bit out of sync time-wise, a little bit, but I thought, you know, it still gives the feel of the time, you know, because they presented themselves as very idealistic. Carnegie and the other two, Carnegie, Vanderbilt, and Rockefeller presented themselves as gentlemanly, very, very educated, very cordial, but they hired people to do the hard stuff, to keep people in line, to get labor as cheaply as possible. And even with Carnegie, who's you know, who's writing is beautiful. He want his whole one of his ideals was to have a library in every town because he had a high opinion of people in general. Nevertheless, his workers were treated awful, and there was even you might call it a revolution or a rebellion, you know, and some of the workers died and I mean the work conditions were just terrible. So I brought them in. I brought them in and I really that was a hard piece for me to write. I was inspired by the train song, the opening song in Music Man. I wanted it to be like that. And so you have characters, all it's all in rhythmic speech. You have characters talking about them. They're all in the same location, this tavern somewhere. They're all talking about them. Oh, that's Carnegie, blah, 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 blah. And then you have the three moguls also conversing with each other, pretending that they're all well respected, high, you know, high minded. Gifts to society, and they're all talking with each other at the same time. So that was a really hard one. That was a hard
So, if people want to learn more about the show, you know, how can they get a hold of you? How can they learn more about you? You know, is there, you know, way to contact you? Is there social media? All that fun stuff to get to know who you are.
They can call me on the phone. I'm happy to talk on the phone. How do they find out about me? That's such a good question, and I hadn't thought about that. They can find out about my general music abilities, but not about this show at blazinleslie.com. That's WordPress.com. You can get to know in general that I teach and I compose, but that would be BLAZINLESLIE dot WordPress musicaltheaterradios.com. And I believe there is a email contact. So you could always email me. And my email is, get prepared. You have to write this down or you won't remember it. L-E-C-Z, as in zebra, L-I-I at yahoo.com. So any questions, you can get a hold of me that way. You can email me, or I also have what I call mind imagination work, which is quite remarkable, and it's there's a powerful healing aspect to it, and it we also can pinpoint goals, like where do you want to go from here, and it's extraordinary and extremely powerful. That's another website. That's called the exponentialmoment.com, and I do work with artists as well as non-artists, but I do work with artists. And I know music really well, so I work with musical artists too. So that's different work, but you can contact me that way as well.
Perfect.
So
well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today, and you know, introducing myself and the rest of the world to your show, because it, and congratulations, because writing your first show is never easy. it's never easy for anybody. It doesn't matter if you've been doing it for years, doing a new show is difficult. So you know, kudos to you on doing it and you know, getting it out there into the world.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad we met on LinkedIn. It was almost felt like it was by chance. And you're welcome. And thank you for this very dedicated work that you're doing. I bet it's really fun, though, for you, too.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can't complain. I get to learn about new musicals. And it's been exciting since I started it, the station, almost 5 years ago. I've got to see shows that are new then start to progress, and they're starting to get productions and they're starting to get recordings. And it's exciting to see these come from nothing, working their way up. And shows take forever, right? So I'm going to have to be on the air for another 5 years before I even get to see them probably complete. But it's so worth it to see the people grow and get, you know, the pleasure of putting their stuff on stage. And I enjoy helping promote that. So I'm nothing without you guys, because without you, I have nothing to do. So thank you. So
you also wrote a musical. So someday I expect to see that.
One day, me too. So that's a whole different thing to talk about. Leslie, again, thank you so much for coming on today, and I look forward to you know, hearing those songs when they are complete, and seeing where the show goes in the future. So thank you.
Sounds great.
Awesome. All right. We were just speaking with Leslie Sharp about her show To Elizabeth's America here on Be Our Guest. Tune in next week as we'll be speaking with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I'm your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.